This episode, an interview with Jim Lippi, the new CEO of SaaS Alerts. We talk about his history in the industry, why he moved into cloud management, what he sees for the space, and why this hasn't been done before. Your resume reads like a bit of the evolution of the MSP space. I look at it and say, like, you know, MSP background, managed desktops, RMM provider, and now a company that focuses on cloud management. What caused you to move into this space?
Yeah, it's a great question, Dave. It's timing. I think, you know, SaaS Alerts is at the intersection of some major trends. You know, first of all, MSP. Like, MSPs become really popular. There's a lot of institutional money now via private equity coming into the managed services space. People finally realize that, wait a second, recurring revenue is pretty cool. In technology, in the digital transformation, all that's pretty cool. So maybe we should be investing there. So you have that. You have the MSP phenomena. Then you have cybersecurity, right, which is the number one concern of every small business out there, and by extension, their MSPs. Then you have SaaS applications, which is only being expedited by COVID. You've got more and more small businesses using, and small business users using SaaS-based applications now, most of the time from personal devices, a lot of cases from unsecure networks, which create security holes. And then AI or machine learning, which is in the back end of our platform. So the question is, you know, why SaaS Alerts? Why now? And it's really because we're at the intersection of these four major trends.
What's your take and your vision on cloud management? Like, what does this space need to accomplish?
It follows a transformation of, I think, where small businesses are going. Right. So we have the traditional MSP model, which is managing, you know, devices, you know, company owned devices on company managed networks, on server based applications. And now we've got a transition where more and more users, as I mentioned before, are using SaaS based applications. So first of all, SaaS management as a category is pretty broad. Right. And you're looking at, you know, provisioning applications, you're looking at, you know, orchestration of those applications and tracking who's using what and where are they coming from. SaaS Alerts is specifically focused on the cybersecurity aspects of user behavior as it relates to SaaS applications.
So then what's your take on the complete list of requirements? Obviously, you know, you guys have started in a particular place, but what's your take on the list of requirements necessary to solve on this? I give you the magic wand, right? And you can, right, you can just wave it at this and you've instantly solved all the development problems. Right. You know, what do you think you need to get to be a complete list of requirements?
I don't even know at this point, Dave, to be quite honest. Like, so I had a really interesting conversation last week with Derek and Gavin over at Augment IT, or Augment. And also, I know Brian over at Nuvolex, right? And they're tackling SaaS management from a completely different angle as SaaS Alerts. They're really management orchestration. And you know, when talking to them, they're like, we're just finding more and more things to do around SaaS management. And that's our experience as well on the security side. So when I talked to Chip and Seth, and Chip and Seth started this journey 18 months ago, they started developing the product, and they thought they knew everything they wanted to do within the realm of cybersecurity for SaaS. And then they started realizing, wait a minute, like, we can go deeper and deeper and deeper, and we didn't know where the bottom is yet.
So this is going to cause a real problem with potential scope creep then, right? Because you could do in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. What then are going to be the guardrails that keep you focused?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for us, that is, and it's a great question. And it's something that we do demos for folks now. They're like, well, can you do this? And can you do that? And what about this? And we often will say, you know what? It's a great point. somebody else does that, and this is who they are, right? We're focused specifically on the user behavior around those SaaS applications and as it relates to security holes, right? So that is our guiding principle. We want to be the cybersecurity standard for SaaS applications in the MSP community. Bottom line, that's what we want to do. And we're having great conversations, by the way, with a lot of other platforms out there that do other great things around leveraging our technology. You know, taking our piece that we do, monitoring and alerting around SaaS applications, and embedding that via OEM relationship into their platforms.
Well, it's interesting because as an analyst, right, I'm excited about this space because of exactly what you've described. I'm looking at the space saying, I don't know if these people are competitors. I don't know if they're cooperators. I don't know if I want to mash them all together into one product. I don't know if they're going to duke it out. That's exciting to watch a space form. But my take is that this space, kind of cloud management for providers focused on the SMB, is a broad swath. Mm-hmm. It's taken a bit of time for there to be offerings here. Mm-hmm. If I were to get in the DeLorean, I think this should have happened a few years ago. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that statement?
I think you're absolutely right.
Okay.
And it should have happened before now. And I mean, do you want to delve into why it hasn't happened until now?
100%. So my next question would be, okay, so why?
So let's talk, I mean, just from MSP perspective, right? This is MSP radio.
Right.
So, I mean, because this has been tackled by the enterprise. There are enterprise tools out there that do a lot of what we're talking about. I mean, specifically around the security piece, there's something called CASB. Mm-hmm. Right. It stands for Cloud Access Security Broker. And you've got awesome tools out there. Like McAfee's got a great tool called Envision. Netscope, there's got, you know, Microsoft has a product. They're all relatively complex, single tenant, monolithical type platforms that most likely the average SMB is never going to be able to afford.
Right.
Right. Gartner follows it. There's a magic quadrant around it. So they recognize the problem. The SMB will follow the trends of the enterprise. So I think a large part of it is that the institutional or the ecosystem, the software ecosystem that surrounds MSPs, haven't done a great job innovating around this space over the last several years. And we've got a lot of legacy tools out there. Not that they don't do a good job in what they do. They all do what's necessary for the traditional model. But there's a lot of tools out there there's tools that haven't been created for what's coming and what's actually, in many respects, what's here now.
That's my take too, is that we're almost a little late to the party too, that we need these tools now to solve these problems. So I'll be a little direct here then. So, you know, why didn't the companies like the big four of MSP take on this space? Mm-hmm. Why didn't they?
So full disclosure, I'm a shareholder of Kaseya. Everyone should know that. Right.
I'm still a shareholder in SolarWinds. Doesn't mean I didn't say they're not doing this.
Right, exactly. So they're all backed by private equity. The big four, in some way, shape, or form, are backed by private equity. SolarWinds obviously has a public component to them. Now, Datto is public.
Yep.
Those companies, as currently constituted, are not set up to innovate. So every single month, every single quarter, there's pressure on them to produce profit. And when you're set up that way, it doesn't lend itself to innovating new and different products, because innovation requires a lot of investment. And when you're constantly trying to, you know, comp the last quarter, then you're always looking for that dollar. And lots of times it's taken out of innovation. So what, you know, the big four have done is they've looked at it and said, wait a minute, there's other companies out there that will innovate for us. They'll be much smaller. And then we will essentially evaluate those and make acquisitions, you know, as it makes sense. And I think ultimately that is why we haven't seen tools like this in this market yet.
So I would then posit that you're probably not particularly worried about them competitively in the near term.
No, I'm not, just because, again, they're not set up to go into an endeavor like creating a whole new product line for the most part. Not that they couldn't, but the level of investment and the level of internal tweaks that would be necessary to make that happen, I think is relatively unrealistic based on what I know about Love.
So that's fair, and I share some of that thinking too. And I think I probably go even more aggressive than many others, saying that I actually think in some ways their choice to not innovate is becoming bad for the space. Mm-hmm. But I want to be a little targeted then with my question to you is what's your take on this influx of private equity money into the space? Good, bad, both? What's your take on it?
I think it's positive. And again, full disclosure, I'm an advisor for Nautic Partners, which is a really successful private equity firm. We are doing a lot of acquisitions. We'll be doing a lot of acquisitions in the MSP space. I think that, first of all, not every private equity firm is created equal. Mm-hmm. Some are better than others. Some have just different attitudes about things. I like Nautic. They believe in that people make the difference, and that really good people can create great companies, and culture matters. So I think that ultimately private equity in our space is a good thing because it raises the game, right? It requires a certain amount of operational maturity to operate in that type of environment. And I think that's ultimately good for us.
It's fair. My take on it has been it has the potential to be, but I actually think it requires solution providers to be much more aggressive about accountability of their vendors, a much higher level of accountability, because when organizations are founder-led, they are able to be, you can get a relationship, a personal relationship, that individual founder. But when they become driven by shareholder value, be it public or be it an investor, that becomes a little bit more clouded onto what their time frame is or their perspective is. And so it puts the impetus on providers to be much more skeptical. Again, I'll ask, is that a fair assessment of things?
I think it's fair. So when you say providers, are you talking about MSPs specifically or the software providers?
I think the MSPs. I think the MSPs need to hold these organizations to a higher account, and drive them and thus be more willing to change providers or voice their displeasure as customers based on knowing that it's not necessarily a personal relationship like it was with a founder.
Yes, no question.
What's the big challenge you see coming for what we're doing? Because you've sort of allowed this confluence of pieces coming together. What is that big challenge that you're worried about on the horizon here?
Ultimately, I want to make sure that MSPs understand the challenges, right? Like, so I did a presentation for about, 30 MSPs or so the other day. And the feedback from some of them were, I didn't even know that this was a problem.
Right.
So this wasn't on my exact quote. This wasn't on my radar. So I think the biggest challenge from our perspective is getting people to understand that this is an issue. It's being solved in the enterprise. People have recognized it in enterprise. I mean, there's Magic Quadrant stuff out there on it. Okay. Making sure that you understand, Mr. and Mrs. MSP, that this is a problem for your small business customers. I can't tell you how many times, Dave, I hear, well, my customers don't use those applications, or SaaS really isn't that, big of a deal for our customers. Or, you know what? Our customers, they don't use Dropbox. How do you know?
Right.
You've never had a tool that actually monitored the usage of Dropbox or Salesforce. So how do you know?
Well, it's a fair point, and I'll reference and I'll include the link in the video for those people. My most popular video on my channel is a piece I did last summer called "If I Was Starting an MSP Today," and it talks about the creation of a business process focused provider, where I would start with a business application and work down, where infrastructure is the afterthought because I have to do it. What I've also talked about in this space is exactly what you just highlighted, which is these SaaS applications are in those your customer organizations that you don't know. Oh, and by the way, businesses that start up in the last 12 months, 24 months, they've not put in servers. They've not put in like all of these legacy pieces. If you're a new business, and we know in recessions, lots of new businesses get created, you're going to go out and buy a bunch of SaaS applications and be off and running. And if you can't serve those kinds of customers, you're a legacy of the past. And I think that's, from my perspective, you're exactly right on the risk is it's not just your existing customers, it's you're not even accounting for the new space that's get created. Again, if you and I start a new business, right, as you've in a way done, you're not buying anything legacy. It's all in the cloud. I would assume. Tell me, everything that SaaS Alerts does, everything's in the cloud, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
100%.
Yeah. And I'm nodding and smiling at everything you're saying right now, because this is ultimately where SaaS Alerts started.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.